the very children that we utilize for the collateral material, particularly black and brown children from inner cities, whether it be your inner city or my inner city, quite frankly, is how we pass the tax. As soon as the tax was passed, it became for all children. And you know what? It is for all children, but you have to have a starting point somewhere. And quite frankly, you know, I believe that we have to go to where the greatest need is.
We're only asking for 5% for neighborhood services out of their budget. We're not asking for 90%, 5%. I went back and looked at the numbers. You guys can still do all that with the other 95%.
We're wanting to do the right thing. We're not trying to be argumentative. We want to work in partnership, but we do have a conflict that we want to work through. The way other trusts and their counties or their cities have worked through this problem has been an interlocal agreement where you're able to say, I get $100,000, let's say in the Warrington CRA, I'd like you to fund, I don't know whether it's after school, youth employment, you know, whatever it is, you can direct it, but we're still the ones that manage it for you.
Yeah, I don't know if I need someone else managing. I already have neighborhood services.
Oh, man. This fight at, I'll call it a fight, okay, at the Escambia County Commission meeting, even though Lindsay Cannon there, the executive director of the Escambia Children's Trust, who's doing a great job, and the voices you heard before that are Mike Kohler, District 2, and Lumen May, District 3. This bickering over the question of who's going to control the roughly $450,000, $500,000 a year that the Escambia Children's Trust raises, but that technically goes to the community redevelopment area because it's on the increment of value increase since the CRA was put in place, and that's how the law is written. Here's the kind of the understand this in as small a way as possible. We voted for money to help children be better educated, and the Escambia Children's Trust collects that money every year, $10 million or so. Nobody realized, even though it is part of the law, but nobody realized until just recently that, oh, whoops, about 5% of that money, about $450,000 a year, is technically supposed to go to the CRA and not go to helping children learn how to read and mentor children and programs for athletics and things like that, but instead go to infrastructure needs to beef up the to fix the blight in the community redevelopment areas. And so in other places where this has happened, it has consistently been the practice of the county commission to just enter into an interlocal agreement with the other children's trusts where they manage the money, but they do it in such a way that the county's satisfied that it's also doing good. No problem. Easy peasy. In Escambia County, we don't do anything easy. And instead, particularly Stephen Barry, Lumen May, Jeff Bergosh, and, you know, Mike Kohler, they were all four on board with this because this was when the seat was vacant, you know, District 4 seat was vacant. And they said, no, we're not going to let you handle this money and oversee it to help children. We're going to claw back this money and use it for our purposes within the CRA, which turned out to be cameras for security, but they also keep mentioning things like parks and sidewalks. And here's the problem. We didn't vote for that money in order to build parks and sidewalks or to put cameras up. We voted for that money to do preschool, after school, reading, mentorship, programs that would, you know, develop these impoverished and undereducated children into better citizens in Escambia County to try to once and for all really remedy the problems that we have with, you know, generational poverty and folks not getting the kind of education because they don't come from the right kind of family we've had. And the Children's Trust is actually doing that. But this question of who should control the money, what was weird is in this case, Stephen Barry and Lumen May kind of reversed course. In fact, totally reversed course and said, yeah, we're good with an interlocal. Let's vacate our previous judgment. Let's give it back to them and we'll just kind of work it out between us. And Mike Kohler says, the hell we will. We are not going to let them control it. I've got a neighborhood services division and I'm perfectly fine with that. He keeps saying we've got to do it our way under our control instead of entering into an agreement. And I don't get it. I don't get why Mike is so hung up on this. It's a weird place to pitch your flag to me, but he is adamant about wanting to control this money through the county. We'll come back to this in a second. Jake has got traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right, we're looking pretty good on our roadways this morning. We are keeping our eyes on Cantonment this morning. We have some CSX Railroad improvements going on there. As you know, Robertson Kingsfield was closed last night. They are open today. The only closure that we have confirmed this morning right now is Archer. We're still looking at El Camino and Woodbury Circle to maybe close today, but this rain is moving into parts of the area, and it should be a heavy downpour most of the day, so some of these closures may not happen. Keep it posted right here to News Radio 92.3 and our Facebook page for the latest on all these closures. Otherwise, around town, we're looking great. If you see anything out there, let me know. 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. So back to the Escambia Children's Trust argument at the county commission meeting. So here's the... you kind of have to understand the parameters here. If the money is controlled by the Escambia Children's Trust, then they use it for programs to benefit children. If the money is controlled by the CRA, then they can use it on infrastructure, facade grant improvements, you know, facade improvements, parks, sidewalks, stuff. They can't do it on programs. They can't do it on services. Well, when we voted the money in, we didn't vote for it for stuff, which the county should already be doing with the general fund and general tax revenues. We voted for it for services, which the Escambia Children's Trust does. And, you know, you could theoretically do both, right, in the CRA areas, but you can't do it under the CRA money. Like, if the Escambia Children's Trust does a reading program in the CRA, that would seem to satisfy what Mike Kohler is wanting to have happen. But if the CRA builds better sidewalks in the CRA, that doesn't do what we voted in the money to do for the Children's Trust. So it makes more sense to have an interlocal agreement where the Escambia Children's Trust promises to use this $500,000 or so a year in this certain way. But Mike Kohler just cannot get past this idea.
But they're still going to be able to spend 95% of what comes in for the entire county from all the people that pay into that. We're only talking about the poorest people in Escambia County. Why do I need an interlocal agreement to give money to the poorest areas of the county?
Because you can't give them services.
I mean, I just can't get there, man.
You cannot give them the services that we were voting for.
Here's what I like to say. Poor kids don't get nice parks. Amen. Poor kids don't get sidewalks. Poor kids don't get to go to swim club because they don't have a ride there. Poor kids don't get to go to sailing down at Satori because I know because I tried to get them there. And so when we're talking such a small amount of money out of the Children's Trust to help the environment of kids walking through garbage from the pines and trying to make the environment better, I think the statute's clear. We have the right to do it. I don't need another layer. You still have 95% of your funds coming in from all of the taxpayers in the county to do a lot of great things. So I have no interest in not going forward with what we voted on before. I just don't think it's right.
So the things that, as you heard him explain, he thinks that it's only 5%, so what's the big deal? Well, you know, it's $500,000. And does it go to programs or does it go to stuff? Okay. And, you know, this whole idea of another layer of government. Well, yeah, but we voted for another layer of government. Like, literally, that's what we voted for, is a tax and a board to oversee the tax money. That's exactly what the voters voted for. They didn't vote to give this money to the general fund or the CRA under the county's domain through neighborhood services. We just didn't vote for that. So Lumen May says, look, I get where you're coming from. I'm not willing to go to war over this issue.
I said to our trust board, I mean, Will's a friend, but I mean, he's probably having billable hours that's probably going to end up against the taxpayers at some point to not end up in litigation because, you know, I often say we're owed for the season.
Exactly. Every time nobody's really worried about that particularly, but he's talking about Will Dunaway, the lawyer representing the Escambia Children's Trust. And, you know, we don't want to go to fight in the court because we are always losing in the courts. And that actually set up a kind of a funny moment for Stephen Berry.
Hate to have, you know, anything move forward in a litigation manner. I mean, although it would give my dear friend an opportunity to win a litigation, if you're on both boards, you'd win one of them, Lumen.
Well, sometimes you try to get a win.
Because Lumen May is on the county commission and also on the Children's Trust, so if they go to fight against each other, he's going to win one way or the other. Terrible. But no, and nobody's really anticipating that that's going to happen. So, you know, like I said, I like Mike. Mike is a good guy. He's smart. He's capable. He just somehow or other, you know, got it stuck in his teeth that this money needs to come back to the county to be spent by neighborhood services and the CRA on stuff like parks, sidewalks, and cameras instead of being spent by the Escambia Children's Trust on programs, which was the reason that we voted for it in the first place. And like I said, everywhere else they've done this, they've solved this through an interlocal agreement. And actually, you know, it was Ashley Hoffberger still isn't participating a lot in these conversations. But, you know, she asked the right question of Lindsay Cannon.
So I have a question. Would an interlocal agreement allow us to work with you to lay out priorities as district by district?
Yes. So
like to solve this problem?
So interlocal agreements that have happened in other areas of the state are typically the way that you manage this situation. We have two statutes. You don't know which one supersedes which. So this is the way you work through that, is an interlocal agreement.
Right. So she's seeing the answer is do what we were trying to do, which is send Wes Moreno and Allison Rogers to sit down with Lindsey Cannon and discuss this and come up back with an agreement where everybody can be happy, because nobody wins if the county and the Children's Trust are bickering. That's bad for everybody. And then at the end, she comes back and she said, again, Ashley, I give her credit for this. She's trying to be peacemaker here.
I guess my question to the board is, do we want to know what an interlocal would look like so we can vote yes or no? Or do we not have any interest in knowing what one would look like?
I have no interest. The city doesn't have one yet, and we're talking 5%. So to me, Commissioner,
do we want to extend this until the city has their interlocal?
No, I want to lead. I don't want to follow the city.
Okay. All right. Board,
wow. It's just sit down, talk, see what the city comes up with. And I mean, Ashley Hoffberg was really right on this, and I just thought Mike Kohler was completely wrong. And I will give credit. Stephen Barry and Illumin May were trying to push towards the reasonable outcome, which is a complete pivot for them. Remember, they were the ones who were like, no, this is our money. Back, you know, several months ago when we were having this whole conversation about who controls it, and, you know, Stephen Barry's, like, strident about recollecting this money from the Children's Trust, at least back in, you know, March.
I think by taking A, B, and C, we're affirming that the board expects to be paid.
Like that was the tone back then, and he's shifted now, which is kind of an interesting one. So we'll see how it plays out. But no, nothing was done. They punted. I mean, they couldn't come up with an agreement among all five of them to, or four of them. Had to think who's still now in the seats. Anyway, and we have a new board being installed today. Right. Steve Stroberger takes over for Jeff Bergosh. Also happening in Santa Rosa County, you got two new members being sworn in today. Rhett Rowell and Bobby Burkett are going into districts 1 and 3. So big changes going on in both county commissions. And we'll see what happens in the future. But like I said, just a kind of an odd, strident, weird, unnecessary fight. And what seemed to me to be very atypical of what I have seen from Mike Kohler so far. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
What do zero down payment, zero security deposits, zero due at signing, and zero first month payment add up to? The Volkswagen Sign Then Drive event at Feedmore Imports. Yep, all those zeros add up to savings. When you sign then drive a 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan or Taos, or the 2025 Volkswagen Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport. Don't miss the return of Sign Then Drive for the easiest way to lease a new Volkswagen for a full 36 months. And the best part? Volkswagen pays for your first month's payment. Plus, the 2024 Jetta SE is now on sale from $23,899. The 2024 Taos S, also from $23,899. And the 2024 Tiguan S, on sale from $27,899. It's the Sign In Drive sales event at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Book sales price and due at signing amount excludes tax, title, license options, dealer fees. No security deposit for well-qualified customers through VCI. Limited inventory available. Contact dealer for full offer details.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you love church? Ephesians 5 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts 20:28 says that Christ purchased the church with his blood. 1 Timothy 3 tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So obviously, the New Testament places a huge priority on the church. If you're a Christian but not a member of a local Bible preaching church, I urge you to get involved as soon as possible. You possess unique spiritual gifts that can be used within the body of believers. Hebrews 10 tells Christians to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God wants us to worship him and provoke others to love and good works. Attend a Bible-believing church this Sunday.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Everywhere you look, things are getting more expensive. So at Consumer Cellular, we're lowering the price for those 50 and up. Now you can get unlimited talk, text, and data for $30 a line when you buy two. That's just $60 a month for two unlimited lines. So if you're 50 and up, make the switch and save. Come on, you've earned this. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today. Requires 2 lines of service, age validation, and credit approval subject to system and area limits, taxes, and other fees apply.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfancap and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Lego, my Lego!
You may not lie.
Good morning, 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Spence Golden Morning News. Rain is here slash almost here, and it's going to be rough today. 3 to 5 inches of rain throughout the day today, so do not be surprised by that. And we have news about a road closure, crossing closure, unfortunately.
Yes. El Camino is closed. How do you say is closed in Spanish?
Es cleze? I give up. I'm so sorry.
Oh, man. Okay, so if our roadways weren't already wet and dangerous enough, we've got some railroad closings here. El Camino and Archer in Cantonment on Highway 29, they are closed right now. We do have reports of those being closed. Roberts and Kingsfield is open. Woodbury Circle, we're still looking at this morning. We have no reports of it being closed, but that was on the list for today. Rain is starting. It's going to be scattered, but it's going to be really, really heavy once it gets going. So if you can leave a little bit early this morning, please do so. All closures for the CSX Railroad improvements are dependent on the weather. So just keep it tuned here, and we will keep you informed. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Esta cerrada, if it's feminine.
Gotcha.
I don't know if railroad crossing is a feminine or a masculine.
How does assuming gender work in the Spanish language? That's got to be a mess.
Well, in gendered languages, this is a particular problem, right? Mm. Because the whole language, the whole mindset is built around fixed, finite, discrete gender distinctions, right?
Yes.
So, you know, in English, we can play the trans game a little bit more, but French, Spanish, right? Gendered languages have a harder time of it for sure. Good question. 620, 728, 1843. Hi. 728 on News Radio 92.3. Just think of it this way: with all the crossings that are in the kind of the, you know, in a week it'll all be north of our listening area. It'll be to the rest of Escambia County, and then eventually up into Alabama. We don't have to worry about this again for 8 years. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David,
President-elect Trump is expected to be in Texas today for the launch of the SpaceX Starship. Trump has had nothing but praise for the Starship, but yesterday's launch was delayed. That launch window today opens at about 4 p.m. our time. Trump is expected to arrive shortly before then. Sabotage is suspected after two communications cables under the Baltic Sea were severed. A line connecting Finland and Germany was damaged yesterday.
A joint statement from the Finnish and German foreign ministers said Europe's security is not only under threat from Russia's aggression in Ukraine, but also hybrid warfare from malicious actors.
That's Trent Murray reporting there. And on Sunday, another fiber optic cable connecting Lithuania and Sweden was severed. And we've got a lot of rain coming, but at least it's not a bomb cyclone. I don't know what that is, but it sounds scary. And it's expected to bring rain, snow, and high winds to the northwest through the end of the week.
It's a very scary alternative to the polar vortex. Ooh. That's what it is, if you want the technical term.
Frightening.
David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle and trying to decide if it's time, where to go, how much it's going to cost, what you can get, Frontier Motors, they have a great selection of good quality, almost new vehicles, 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition. They warranty their cars to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they're selling you cars that can handle that warranty, right? That's the idea, is you're getting good cars. Like, you know, sometimes you go to a used car dealer and you're like, oh man, I hope this car lasts me a month or even a year. Not a Frontier. Like, you're buying good cars, you just don't buy brand new. That's the idea. That's why they warranty them. Only A quality cars. So great selection. Try a bunch of different things side by side. Drive several. If they have what you want, get it. If they don't have what you want, send them to go looking for it. You like that car but not in that color? Hey, you know, say, go looking for this. This is my price. You want less miles, fewer miles? Go send them. They go looking. Frontier Motors, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Russia's defense ministry says Ukraine has fired 6 American-made long-range missiles into Russia days after President Biden eased those restrictions. Ukraine says it hit a weapons depot. President Vladimir Zelensky addressing the European Union Parliament.
Together we have accomplished much, but we must not fear doing even more.
Russia's President Vladimir Putin has formally lowered, meantime, his country's threshold for using nuclear weapons. Another cabinet pick from President-elect Trump, former Wisconsin congressman and Fox Business host Sean Duffy as transportation secretary.
Trump's saying of Duffy, Sean will use his experience and the relationships he has built over many years in Congress to maintain and rebuild our nation's infrastructure and fulfill our mission of ushering in the golden age of travel, focusing on safety, efficiency, and innovation.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 74 degrees. It is mostly cloudy, still expecting some rain. Looks like it's starting right about now. We are still waiting for information from Governor Ron DeSantis on when a special election will be held to replace Congressman Matt Gaetz and Mike Waltz after both were selected to take key roles in the next Trump administration. Many expected a quick special election, but that might be more complicated than originally thought.
You have to have a qualifying period to allow them to qualify over in Tallahassee. If you want to follow the guidelines about the UOCAVA military overseas voters, that's supposed to be 45 days before an election, that those are supposed to be out. We have to have time to print, test the equipment, things like that.
That is Escambia County Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender. He says he's not expecting a general election until April and primaries possibly in February, well into the next Congress being seated. Bender says the special election will also likely need to be coordinated with other municipal elections that are planned in the spring. Jury selection began in the trial of Sheila Agee yesterday. She's the mother of Home Depot shooter Keith Agee. Sheila's charged with principal to first-degree premeditated murder for allegedly helping her son coordinate the murder of Brooklyn Sims. Prosecutors believe she not only encouraged him, but helped to arrange the murder. If convicted, Agee could be sentenced to life in prison without parole. Rick Scott is joining other Republicans in questioning recent moves by President Biden. Senator Scott announcing yesterday that he and colleagues have sent a letter to the Office of Personnel Management. The senators say they want information on Biden converting political appointees into non-political permanent positions. That practice is called burrowing. Scott says the law requires the OPM to provide Congress with quarterly updates on the burrowing of current or former political appointees. Scott and his colleagues say ensuring the integrity of the federal workforce from partisan influence is critical to the public's trust in government. In Pinellas County today, they're considering whether to approve bonds supported by tourism tax dollars to build a new stadium for the Tampa Bay Rays. The board has already delayed that vote once, and Pinellas Commissioner Dave Eggers says he's not in a big hurry.
If it ultimately means that we don't make the March deadline, then we don't, you know, we just have to see where we're at.
Rays owner Stu Sternberg said that decision has delayed groundbreaking for a new ballpark already, and it's put the team's future in the region in doubt. The Rays will be playing their next season of home games at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. Some Pinellas commissioners are viewing that as a snub to them. And there's been another big lotto winner here in our area. A Foley woman has claimed a $10 million grand prize from a scratch-off ticket purchased at a Cumberland Farms convenience store in Perdido Key.
Jessica wow, $10 million from a scratch-off?
I know, right? She took her lump sum prize of just over $6 million, came from the Gold Rush Legacy game. So
probably a $20 ticket, probably.
It is a $20 ticket.
Okay, there Absolutely. You go. That's how they get you.
And it's 7:35 now at News Radio 92.3. Taking a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are you seeing?
I still see that as a Loctite retirement plan, the old scratch-offs.
I've been trying. It's not worked out for me.
It's going to work out one day. All right. So we do have some railroad closures in Cantonment this morning. We've been watching it all morning and bringing you the latest news here on News Radio 92.3. Archer and El Camino are now confirmed closed. We're still looking at Woodbury Circle to maybe close today. Roberts and Kingsfield are back open. And pretty soon we won't have to be talking about this anymore because it will move north up into Alabama and all of these CSX improvements will be up there. But it's going to be wet today. All this rain is moving into the areas around town. So just please, if you can, leave a little bit early and don't follow too close. Looking at our roadways, 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is clear. I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. Looks like 90 through Milton and Pace is good. Let me see here. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. Davis is good from the overpass through Creighton. Brent and Fairfield, and looks like 9 miles accident-free. If you see anything out there, let me know, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by the Watson Firm. If you have been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. Watson Law Firm, watsonfirm.com. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
We will have heavy showers and thunderstorms as you go throughout your morning today. Temperatures going to be staying in the mid-70s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping to 66 degrees. Showers come to an end as we head into the evening, and then we will be looking at some sunshine for Wednesday, high near 73 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 45 degrees. Looking much cooler by Thursday with sunny skies, high near 63. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, and it looks like that rain has indeed started here around our area. We've got rain right now, 77 degrees in Pensacola. It is 76 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 76 also in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. To afford holiday trips, about 50% of respondents are cutting back on other expenses, while 49% are picking up discounts and deals. That's according to the 2024 Holiday Travel Outlook by Hopper. Some last-minute holiday travelers are also leaning into Travel Tuesday. That's according to McKinsey & Company. Supermicro said it hired BDO as its independent auditor. The stock, which has cratered since peaking in March, rose 37% in extended trading. The company said that it will remain listed on the NASDAQ pending the exchange's review of the compliance plan. Boeing will lay off more than 2,500 workers in Washington, Oregon, South Carolina, and Missouri. That's according to Reuters. The plane maker announced in October plans to cut 17,000 jobs, or 10% of its global workforce. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 55. The NASDAQ up 111. That's Your Money Now.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's. Join Dawn from Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus today at 10 with her guest Sarah Kay on the Pensacola Expert Panel. The topic will be answering common questions about senior health. Text or call in your questions to 850-437-1620. Join Dawn from Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Just want to have the discussion. There's a lot of stuff on the LET funds that I went and talked to legal about. The sheriff has a lot of authority. I know the board can only turn down. We can't do much with the LET funds, but I do think that in the future we probably need to have a discussion with the sheriff on LET funds, because this alone is more than all of our discretionary funds this month. So it's a lot of LET funds that the sheriff has.
I promise you we didn't plan to spend the whole day talking about Mike Kohler this today, but he does come up twice in two different conversations at the Escambia County meetings. And this one actually goes back about a month, but it was a comment that I had meant to bring up with Sheriff Chip Simmons, who's here in studio with me. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning.
Yeah, so welcome, by the way. Mike Kohler seems to think that there needs to be more oversight by the board on the law enforcement trust fund, the drug seizure money that you guys have. I'm not quite sure why he wants more oversight, but it seems like he does. I mean, you guys say we're going to spend it this way, and they can say yes or no, but they don't get any input into shaping the funds, right? By statute,
not
right?
By statute, but we've always been willing to have a discussion with county commissioners, and I've been working with county commissioners in the past on specific projects or thing people that come to them, and sometimes they refer those people to the sheriff's office. Hey, there are some, you know, they have their own discretionary funds,
right?
And then they have in the past referred them to us for a potential to get law enforcement trust funds. And we've worked with him. So I haven't had a conversation with Commissioner Kohler. I'm not sure exactly what his concern may be. I guess two things from what he said. By statute, the sheriff or the police chief mm-hmm. determines where the funds go to, and then it is approved by the governing body, which is the Board of County Commissioners of the City.
And signed
council.
Off by the clerk, ultimately, or the comptroller, yeah. Because she has to make the decision. Is this lawful, right?
So yeah. There's a lot of hoops, quite frankly. It goes mm-hmm. through our legal process. And then years ago, Sheriff Morgan had an issue with some of the law enforcement trust fund dollars, and I believe that the sheriff's office legal team at the time and the county legal team worked on this process, and it's been pretty smooth for my entire 4 years as the sheriff.
Yeah, it just caught me by surprise a little bit. Yeah. Kind of that, you know, why was he raising this objection? Had he talked with you about it? Is this a problem? You know, and if they have ideas, can they come to you? And it sounds like the answer is yes.
They certainly can come to me, yeah. And again, if the issue is the amount of money, you know, it's no secret that we have doubled down on our narcotics arrest, and I'm certainly not going to apologize for seizing drug money and putting it back into use into the community. But I just want to remind your listeners that by statute, it can only be spent for certain items. You know, drug prevention, drug abuse. It could be used for equipment for the sheriff's office itself, but 25% of it has to go towards these drug abuse mm-hmm. prevention type of things. So there's a lot of rules regarding where exactly it can be spent. And you know, if the sheer amount of money is an issue, I don't know what to do about that particular issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's
we're not going to stop.
If you had fewer drug dealers, money. You would have less drug seizure money. Right. But then that would mean that your programs are working, which is kind of the idea of both the seizure and of using the money to combat drugs, right? So it's like it all if it
yeah,
works. It makes sense.
And it may just be an understanding issue, and I'm sure I'll have a conversation with Commissioner Kohler, okay. And we'll.
Well, I wanted to ask because I, you know, it was. Kind of the first I had heard of that as a concern. We had a couple of incidents, including one overnight that I guess started at UWF after a game. Was this last night, maybe? Do we know more
details? Well, I just got an email. I just got an email from the investigator or the patrol deputy that was working it. We responded to Baptist Hospital reference to a shooting victim. This victim said that while at the University of West Florida, he was shot in the leg after a game. Basketball game, maybe. I'm not sure what game was going on. And so we're working that. It's an unknown assailant, according to the report that I got. There was a crime scene. There was blood in the parking lot of where they said it took place.
Okay. Why would there be a shooting at UWF that gets transported to Baptist and not West Florida? That's literally right down the road.
Yeah. He may have driven himself. It's not clear on here.
Oh, fair enough.
So a shot in the leg may not prevent him from driving or being driven by his friends on the interstate.
And that would normally, UWF has police, that would normally be their thing, but maybe it didn't occur on campus, or maybe it's like he drove himself, so it kind of like where you encountered it was afterwards or whatever, right? So
yeah, I'm going to look into that because UWF, they have their own police department.
Right.
They can handle, they handle a lot of things on their own, and Florida Department of Law Enforcement could help them if they needed to. But, again, we all work together.
Of course.
It may be something that was easier for us to take the ball at initially.
There was a shooting at a raceway. This was on 29. Is that the one? Am I thinking of the right one? At 29
yeah,
by
yeah.
I-10?
Right there at Diamond Dairy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the shooting didn't occur there, but the victim was located there. The shooting happened a little farther away from there. Let's see here. It happened on Hampton Road. Anyways, we're still trying to unwind this. This is kind of a complicated story, but a victim says he was shot while in his car at that address on Hampton Road. But then he ended up at Raceway, but the car was still at the location of the shooting itself. So we're looking at this. There's some claims of someone stole a backpack, and it's just a mess. And we're still kind of unwinding, trying to see
a lot
if
of different
video.
Sort of smoke and uncertainty. And
well, there's an allegation that it's self defense, and then it's not self defense, and the shooting happened in a car. And you know, so our investigators, as they always do, they piece this all together and see if it is, as we talk many times, is it reasonable to believe that your life was in danger, and if not, Then there will be an arrest. So I'm not ruling out anything in this particular case, but we'll make sure that we cross all the T's and dot all the I's.
Well, and the very important defense of a backpack statute that's now that
I think it's the federal law. It's the federal backpack backpack protection act.
On that very inappropriate
we're joking
joke.
About that. There is not one of those.
No. Anyway, Jake has got traffic on the fives. By the way, great to have you on the show today, Jake.
Yeah, it's great to be here, as always. I'll be here through Thursday. So, all right, looking at our railroad closures in Cantonment this morning, we do have reports of Archer and El Camino now being closed. We're still taking a look at Woodbury Circle. That might close this morning, depending on this weather moving into the area. Roberts and Kingsfield are both back open. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, let us know. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker, traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. The other incident that happened this week that was more high profile was you guys wound up in a car chase after somebody didn't stop, and that led to a pretty significant arrest, right?
We tried to stop we got a Dodge that fled us on W Street. We chased it for a bit, lost sight of the car, ended up finding the vehicle on Chimes Way skate park is what it says. Where a couple people took off running, but they were caught. Our deputies did a fantastic job. The canine responded and also alerted on the Dodge itself. A large quantity of methamphetamines, mushrooms, and other narcotics were seized. So we charged a couple people this. One of them last name is Brazil. All I have is the information that suspect Brazil. So
okay.
Charged with trafficking in
oxymorphone,
which is over 28 grams. That's a lot, obviously. Possession of controlled substance of meth, and then fleeing and looting, and then resisting by trying to run and getting captured by our fleet-footed deputies.
Well, always good to hear. Hey, one thing, I don't know the answer, so I'm just kind of curious. We have been reporting on the traffic issues that have surrounded the CSX railroad crossings, which, you know, hasn't happened for 8 years, but when it happens, it's a giant catastrophe. And I think from a law enforcement perspective, you know, have you guys has this caused you any problem, either the closures themselves or the massive congestion around the closures? Has that been an issue for you at all?
Well, I mean, obviously the congestion is going to mean that it takes a little longer to get to where we need to go. Mm-hmm, if it's an emergency, then we can turn the lights on and try to go around the congestion. But if the traffic is stopped, if there's a railroad track that is just, you can't, impassable,
right.
Then we obviously have to go another route. Our dispatchers do a fantastic job of letting people know if there's a tree down blocking the roadway, and our deputies will kind of know, you know, to avoid that kind of area. Our deputies are as familiar with these districts and that they work in as anyone, so they do a really good job. My point saying all that is, has it affected us? Yes, just like it would affect anyone else during mm-hmm. you know, rush hour traffic. But I can't say that I've heard, oh my gosh, this thing here is worse than any other thing we've ever seen.
Right.
That's not the case.
Last thing, kind of a cool thing. You are going to be constructing a law enforcement memorial plaza. Is that right?
Absolutely. We're very excited about this. So we've been working with the foundation. In fact, the foundation is paying for this and doing it for the sheriff's office. Our existing memorial, which lies in front of our sheriff's office itself, has served us well for many years. But if you attend one of our law enforcement
memorials.
That's
the one that's like the little, the circular thing angled, with the cut angled end that they put the flowers on every time you do the ceremony.
Yeah, it's got a small triangular granite section, and we put the flower. It's the centerpiece of our memorial ceremonies. But if you've been to one of our ceremonies, there's not a lot of room there. People are standing around because there's not enough seating, not enough area. So we wanted a larger area. It's time to upgrade this. And I thought that, you know, if we're going to do this, we might as well do it right. Let's not do anything mediocre. Let's do what Escambia County deserves, and that's make it better. And so we're going to have what we call a memorial plaza. One side will be a granite wall with the names of our heroes etched on it. And then the other side will be a seating area because we have a lot of tours of our sheriff's office and a meeting place, if you will, so people can meet there. And then the center of this will be a large star. So it's going to be two sides. The entire thing will make up the Memorial Plaza itself. We have been working on this for the last couple of months. The foundation president, Whitney Lucas, and I have been working on this, going back and forth with Hanto and Clark, Miller Caldwell Architects, and they've been kind enough to donate their time and expertise to it. So we plan on a groundbreaking in January. The Sheriff's Foundation is going to start raising money here shortly, where they will sell sponsorships or brick pavers on the plaza side, not on the memorial side. We don't sell those sides.
Don't commercialize the memorial side.
That's correct. So if you go online, if you want to take a look at it, it's on the Sheriff's Office Facebook page. It's a beautiful plaza, if I do say so myself. We have met with the families of the fallen deputies, and they're very excited about it. This will allow us, you won't be able to enter or exit the Sheriff's Office without taking notice of this plaza and without thinking about the sacrifice that that these men have made over the course of our 200 plus years.
Now, I do have to ask you.
No.
At once upon a time, the Sheriff's Office under your stewardship was in possession of a certain kind of, a statue that I think wound up getting shape-shifted and you were going to use for another purpose. Is that in any way resolved? And I assume that has nothing to do with anything that's happening here. It wasn't turned into the star or anything like that.
Yeah, no, that has nothing to do with what we have now. The bronze that was used on a former statue is not conducive to something else.
I got you.
So we're having to kind of reevaluate exactly, right?
Okay.
Exactly what?
Right.
Because apparently, when you melt it all together, the colors are wrong. There are no statues in this particular memorial plaza.
Got it. And that's I just get asked that every once in a while. Somebody says, "What's the status?" I'm like, "I don't know. I keep hearing, you know, it's nothing. But I probably never will be." So. We'll leave it at that. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
752 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Winterfest in downtown Pensacola begins Friday and goes through the holidays with 500,000 lights, performances, tours, and of course, Santa. See PensacolaWinterfest.org. Friday night, enjoy another gallery night in downtown Pensacola. This month's theme is Festival of Living Art. Meet your friends and neighbors for another fun evening. See GalleryNightPensacola.org for more. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
You? Jay?
Jay.
And you? You?
Tarzan.
Tarzan.
Jay. Tarzan.
I saw you last night.
Tell you a funny thing that I learned yesterday. that I just don't even know how to explain. You know how a lot of times people have beliefs about quotes that aren't actually the quote? Right? It's very common. It's common
Mandela effect.
Yeah, it's like that, but it's just like we kind of change the words a little bit. Mm. You know, I'm your father, Luke. Well, he doesn't ever say that.
Yeah,
he says,
right.
No, I am your father. Yeah, right. You know, so anyway, Tarzan never, ever in any movie ever says, you Tarzan, or you Jane, me Tarzan, or me Tarzan, you Jane. Never
right,
says it.
Right.
It's just that Tarzan Jane back and forth is all there is. That's from the original. That's the, which one? Legend of Tarzan with Johnny Weissmuller. So, you know, the way we all know it is probably more from like Carol Burnett kind of adapting it to her jokes about Tarzan, but it never says it in any of the movies. Never says that exact phrase of, you know, me Tarzan, you Jane. Jake is sitting in with us for a couple of days here with Traffic on the Fives. Jake?
Me fill in, me sub. CSX railroad closures today in Cantonment. We've got confirmed reports of Archer and El Camino both closed this morning. We do have rain moving into the area, so some of these closures may change, but right now we only have those two confirmed. We're still looking at Woodbury Circle as a maybe. Roberts and Kingsfield are open this morning. All closures are dependent on that weather, so keep it tuned here to News Radio 92.3 for all the latest breaking news. Looking at our roadways, Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is looking good. We do have a vehicle crash with roadblock. This is going to be Brent Lane. I did get a call, actually, about this when Sheriff Chip was on the line. This is going to be near the Drowsy Poet on Brent Lane westbound. We do have roadblock there, so if you're headed over there to get you a coffee, maybe a latte, you might want to take it a little easy getting in and out of that parking lot. We also have another vehicle crash. This looks like Brent Lane and Old Palafox. This may be the same one. I might have a double ping on my map here. I'll keep looking at that, and I'll let you know. Otherwise, we're looking good. I-10 and I-110 are clear, and Highway 90 through Milton and Pace. No accidents reported. If you do see anything out there, let me know. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your Traffic on the Fives.
You traffic. Me comment. Dave News.
Well, today marks 1,000 days since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Russian troops started pouring into Ukraine February 24th, 2022, in a massive escalation of a conflict that originally started in 2014. The suspect in New York is now charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder in the deadly stabbing spree that happened in Manhattan. Police are accusing Raymond Rivera of fatally stabbing 3 people out within hours of each other. He's due in court later today. And we've got a South Carolina monkey update. 39 now of the 43 monkeys have been recaptured. These are the monkeys, of course, that escaped from their captivity at a medical research facility. The CEO of Alpha Genesis says that some of the newly recaptured monkeys apparently just came back to the research facility on their own accord and walked into humane traps.
They went out. They tried to get jobs and make a life of it for themselves.
They realized
and discovered
it was
that you know
here.
The Wi-Fi was better back in their parents' basement, so they came back home to the research facility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're boomerang monkeys.
Really, this is a pretty good analogy for all of us. Just go back to the facility.
Just go back to where it's safe and
don't try to run.
Go back to the cage. It's all gonna be good.
Mom, I'm coming home.
You good news, David. Thank you so much. 7:59, I don't know. Every once in a while, you know, we just, it goes sideways. 437-1620. Oh, I'll tell you what we can do. I have tickets to give away for FSU versus Charleston Southern this Saturday, November 23rd. If you want to go to see the game, caller number 2 wins 2 tickets right now. 437-1620.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.